Happy New Year, everyone. I'm glad that you made the choice to assemble with us on this first Sunday of the new year. I believe that God is happy with your decision, too. It's good stuff. Hopefully you found your way here. Maybe, you know, if you are visiting or you couldn't remember how to get here, you used your GPS. I actually love my GPS on my phone because it can do all kinds of stuff, you know. You could just sort of ask it questions like, where am I?
Here's a map of Orangevale.
So it says I'm in Orangevale.
Hesitated.
Directions to Denny's.
There are three listings for Denny's. Which would you like?
Orangevale.
Denny's is 6 minutes from your location by car. Here are your directions.
Yeah, so if you want to go hang out at Denny's after services, you know, you could always use your GPS for that. And that's pretty neat. You know, I mean, GPS today are accurate pretty much from 6 to 12 feet. And it does that by, you know, trilaterating with global positioning satellites around the world. And that's a pretty cool, you know, thing for it to do. So it can give us directions. Now, when it comes to knowing what God wants us to do, it's important that we use God's positioning system, His Word, you see. And in order to use our GPS, we actually need to do the same kind of things that a global positioning system does in order to give us directions. So we need to know where we're at, and we need to know where we want to go, and then we get the directions to get there. So if we were to open up our GPS, God's positioning system, we would find that without Christ, that we would be lost. We would find that we would be lost in our sin. For example, over in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, we're told about our sin problem. There Isaiah writes, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He'll not hear you." So you see, our sins have separated us from God. And so we're lost. And I don't like being lost. I panic when I get lost sometimes. I really do. It's like, where am I? Where am I? But, you know. So is there a way not to be lost? Well, remember again, Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. And that's a great thing to have someone willing to find you when you're lost. But you see, He did that by going to the cross so that if we just look to the cross of Christ, then we can find out where we are and where we want to go, and even how to get there. And that's a pretty great thing that God has done for us. You see, over in Romans 3, we're told not only about our sin problem, but we're also told about the grace of Jesus Christ, and that He came to save us. There the Bible says again that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So again, Jesus came and died on the cross for you and me. He died for our sins so that we could be forgiven and be able to be with God. And then, of course, Jesus was raised to life again to show us His victory over life, over sin and death. And so all we need to do then is to die with Christ so that we can live like Him eternally with Him in heaven and gain the victory of over sin and death. And that's a great thing. It's really great. And that's the gospel, really. That's the good news. I like the way the Apostle Paul goes ahead and summarizes things for us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. So take a look over there. And here in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul reminds the church there at Corinth of exactly what the gospel is. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." And so, again, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You know, and that's the gospel. That's just plain gospel. But you see, just knowing it, of course, doesn't save us from being lost. I could know where the Denny's is, but if I don't know how to get there after lunch, you know, I'm just going to eat leftovers in the fridge in the back, some communion crackers and juice probably, right? So you need to have those directions. We need to obey the gospel. So how do we do that? Well, again, over in the book of Romans, in chapter 6 and verses 3 through 6, Paul writes to us. He writes to the Christians at Rome, and by extension to us, reminding them of how and why they became Christians. Here's what he says, starting in verse 3 there of Romans 6. He says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." And so then, with God's positioning system, lost souls who follow God's directions can be saved. They can move from a position of that lostness of sin and death to a position of being saved, of forgiveness and life, of being found with the end goal of an eternity with God, along with every other soul who has ever followed or ever will follow God's positioning system. And with such good news, it's up to you and me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many as possible so that together we can be with God. And that's the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18, you could start with. That's where he says, "All authority has been given to me." Go on down through 20. So how are we doing with that? Well, let me share with you some of the things that I remember from 2015 that happened here at Orangevale. Earlier this year, we had quite the huge transition when Vernon Buskirk passed away. Since, just like the month before, Paul Rizzo had resigned from the eldership, that just left Jeff Brood then as our sole elder. And we know that elders need to be elders. They need to be plural. And they're to direct the affairs of the church, 1 Timothy 5:17. And so for the first time in decades, Orangevale was left without elders or deacons, meaning that Bob Buda and Dave Grawl and Jim McPeak also stepped down from being deacons. But that didn't mean that these men stopped serving. But that all happened in January, a year ago. It was a rough way to start the year, rough way to start 2015. But those four men, along with our good brother and former elder and preacher Kurt Golden and myself, we all got together and we formulated the men's business meetings that have been going on every month since February in 2015. Now, the big question people were asking during the first quarter over and over again in 2015 is, "Oh, when are we going to get elders again? We're not going to be able to survive." You know, and the answer to that question is, when we're ready. Okay, when we're ready. You see, one of the purposes to the men's business meetings is not just so that we can meet or just figure out, hey, you know, what are we going to do? It's to foster leadership. Because in those meetings, the men are dealing with a number of things that the elders would be dealing with and have dealt with all the time. And so it's actually helping the men to learn more about church leadership. It's on-the-job training. And it's helping us really to talk about things that we never really talked about. And we're growing from that. Now, what I'm about to say next, I don't want anyone to take out of context or misunderstand me, because I love Vernon and I love Paul and I love Jeff and respect them as men and elders of the church. You see, it's God's design for the church to have elders when that is possible. But right now, not having elders has actually been a good thing for us because it's encouraging growth among the men here at Orangevale. Real spiritual, scriptural growth. And so within a few years, when scripturally qualified men are respected and recognized among the congregation as elders, then guess what? We'll have elders again. But for right now, we're in transition. And it's a time of growth. And speaking of transition, 2015 saw the homecoming, as we already mentioned, of Brother Buskirk. And also Jim Rich. And just recently, Paul Rizzo. But those passing from this life to the next weren't the only transitions we saw in 2015. We also saw 9, by my count, and it's not a preacher count. Actually, there might be someone that I might have missed, so you can let me know later. But 9 souls who transitioned from death to life as they were baptized into Christ. We saw Deborah McDade and Ashley Johnston baptized last January. 2 of our World Bible School online students, Bill Clary and Priscilla Hugh, were baptized in May. Flossie Stevenson and Linda Daughtry were baptized in July, along with Felicia, that's Pam Cohn's sister. Javier Garcia was baptized in September. And Jessica, another of Pam Cohn's sisters, was baptized just last month in December. And by extension, I just remember that Kevin was baptized not too long ago. So that's 10. Okay. Is that right? That's right, right? Yeah, okay. And we also had 2 weddings. Back in January, I missed it in the bulletin, so put down the 17th. George and Anita were married last January, first year officially married. You know, we need to encourage them continually. And just August, Jerry and Linda were married. And again, if I missed anybody, go ahead and put their names. Was it Kevin that was baptized this past? No, who was that was baptized? It was, what's his name? I forget. Rich. And you guys were just married too, right? All right. Okay. So, hey, you know, what? I've met Kevin more than I've met you. So okay. All right. So, but, you know, again, those were some really great things that we were able to accomplish, either directly here from the building or by some other extension. And again, if I miss something, then go ahead and get it on an attendance slip or something, and we could always share it some other time. We did our best also to show the love of Christ in the community in different ways throughout the school year in particular. Moms or Us met on Tuesdays along with the Summer Ladies Bible Class. And Parents Night Out still happens also during the school year on the first Friday night of the month. We had a really good group starting this past December. We had, I don't know, about 12 or 13 kids, which is pretty decent. Linda and Jerry have started to help out with that, and she's sharing some of her child skills, development skills. So we're actually having a really good experience with Parents Night Out and reaching out to non-members of our congregation. Plus, we had game nights and movie nights, and Lorraine's here from game night this past Wednesday night that you might have missed. It was lots of fun. Wait, Thursday night. All right. She really is a good Scrabble player, by the way. So if we play teams, I'm taking her, okay? All right. And then, let's see, we did our vacation Bible school, Team Possible, and that was lots of fun. And in July, we did the Harvest Festival. Oh, October, we did the Harvest Festival. It was early, but not that early. It was good. Then we went out Christmas caroling to 3 senior care centers. Plus, we did a lot of other things in order to let the light of Jesus shine through into the community. And just remembering what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16. He told us that we're the light of the world, right? A city on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. The same way, let your light shine before men, they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Well, speaking of evangelism and letting our light shine, according to the paperwork that was handed out just before Mission Sunday at the end of November in 2015, our print ministry shipped out around 5.5 tons, almost 6 tons of printed material all over the world. mainly the parts of Africa and Haiti. And the collection that all of these wonderful saints, you and everybody here in this room, obviously, offered to continue the ministry in 2016 was approximately $25,000. And that's a great number for our size congregation. Another ministry that we've been actively involved in 2015 has been World Bible School. And we do this both online and by mail. And as of yesterday afternoon, there have been a few others that have registered since then, but I didn't want to keep writing the numbers down because they keep going up. But as of yesterday afternoon, we have had 400 registered students ready to study the Bible, with 323 signed up to study online, and 19 of those are currently active in a study right now, and 77 have signed up to study the old school way by postal mail, meaning that, you know, you send them out a booklet, the sheet, they send you back the sheet, and you do a little checking grade off, write some little notes, send it back, okay? And the way we do World Bible School today is similar in that regard, but it's also different than in the past. You see, all the students that we have, with a few exceptions, because you can go outside of our area, all the students that we have are within the Sacramento and Greater Sacramento area. So it's local evangelism. And right now we have six teachers who handle the online students. There's Virginia, myself, Dave Grawl, Dave Combs, Pam Combs, and Charlotte Grawl. And two teachers, only two, who handle all the postal mail, and that's Ira, he takes care of the guys, and Virginia, who takes care of the ladies. And they could use some help. Now, think about that, because if all 400 of those students were active, we'd be in terrible trouble. We need more teachers. And it's not like you need to know a lot of Bible. The answers are right there. You just check it, click it, say, good job. You know, it's not complicated. You read the lesson along, you can grow too. All right? So if you feel the need to share your faith and know how to send an email, you can do an online WBS Bible teaching session. And if you still prefer the old way and you still can write, your hands aren't shriveled up by arthritis or anything like that, or if you can write and you're only like 7 years old, whatever, you know, Virginia and Ira can use your help, okay? So if you want to get involved with that in any way, see Virginia afterwards, and I'm sure she'll help you sign up. Now you might ask, well, does it work? Does it work? I'll have to admit, I was rather skeptical myself, you know, but we've only really been doing this just around a year. Well, two baptisms happened in 2015 that we mentioned already from students that I had and Charlotte had. They were a couple that Dave Grawl and myself immersed into Christ over at the Cordova building, hoping that they would be adopted there by the congregation and attend there. So yeah, it works, okay? So you want to get involved in local evangelism but afraid to face-to-face? There you go, okay? There you go. Now, speaking of Bible classes, during 2015, here at Orangevale, we began the process of restructuring our adult Bible classes to be on a quarterly system. And why? Well, it allows for a larger variety of topics, so we're not talking about one thing for the whole year. And it also allows for greater opportunities for teacher rotation. And right now, two of our three adult classes on Sunday morning are on a quarterly system. And Wednesday nights have actually been on a quarterly system since the beginning of last year, 2015. And in addition to regular Bible classes, well, you know, our young people, grades 6 through 12, have been participating in leadership training for Christ on Wednesday nights with Jessica and Dave, and Danny helped out some, and also, what's her name, the postal lady that gets angry at me, I don't know. Kelly, yeah, all right. They all help in teaching that class, and it's been going really well. And in 2015, we participated in the annual convention and did a really excellent job in representing Orangevale among the congregations from the north, the northwest. Now, I wanted everyone to take a look at this, just to kind of see that, you know, actually, we do a lot of stuff, you know. I have one more thing I wanted to review from 2015, and that is our Sunday evening assemblies. Because I want to review that in particular because I know that a number of us in the morning don't always attend. But in 2015, we diversified our Sunday nights to offer a variety of experiences that prayerfully, you know, will be repeated so you can go ahead and take advantage of those. We have monthly prayer services, spend time in God in prayer, opportunities for men to preach, and the men who spoke last year were Joe Perea, Dave Combs, George Hayes, Bob Buda, George Hernandez, Daniel Matthews, Quentin Beard, Kurt Golden, Dave Avery, and Ira Payne all spoke at least once in 2015, and if you missed that, sorry. Prayerfully, you won't miss it again. Okay. We have Sunday Night Sings, and men get a chance to lead singing. It's very encouraging, very uplifting. We learn some songs, sing some favorites. You can pick a song. We get together, obviously, for potlucks and lunches and studies. And we did a monthly sermon series on issues facing the church. And we covered things like the roles of women and abortion and homosexuality and other topics. Now, think about all of that. You probably remembered some other things that I didn't mention. And, you know, but think about this. For a small congregation, we manage to do a lot and provide a variety of spiritual experiences and growth opportunities for everyone. And I didn't mention even those people who've had studies in their homes and other things throughout the week. Now, there are many other things that we did throughout the year, and I'd encourage you to take a look at the bulletin and the list that's in there. And if you know other things, again, well, share them with people later on. Talk up the wonderful things that we do at Orange Vale. We do a lot. And you should be talking it up. You should be grateful that we can do so much and praise God for it. A passage in Philippians comes to mind. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And again, you can turn your Bibles there. You can swipe, tip, and tap and click or whatever you do with your Bible on your phone if you have an app. But there in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14, Paul says, "Now, not only that I've already obtained all this, or I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And so, you know, we did review our accomplishments, you know, and as we did do that, you know, is there anything that we want to forget about and refocus on as far as what's ahead? Well, you know, we tried to rethink what to do with our food pantry. And Brian Spear was approached with the idea of taking it over, and he was supposed to lead singing today, but he is sick, so I'm not really sure if he's actually doing that, but there are many ways to use our food pantry that would be beneficial as an outreach, and prayerfully, we can talk more about that. So we need to refocus on that. You see, one way or another, we need to do some refocusing on what it means to have a food pantry, or if we have one at all. Treasure seekers, small children or not, our small children's worship is currently suspended. We're refocusing that. We're pretty much done with the Magi project for 2016 unless it gets refocused. So how does refocusing work? Glad you asked. An example, you know, that we could use is that we used to collect socks and visit Manor Care for caroling in December. We did that, I don't know, for probably close to 10 years or something like that, maybe longer anyway. Well, that was refocused. And while we still carol around the holidays, we currently don't visit Manor Care for one reason or another, and we don't bother with socks. For the past 2 years, we've instead refocused on members at senior care facilities, and it's been an incredible blessing all around. We got to visit, there were pictures on the screen last Sunday, and you got to see that we visited Charlene Flores and Christine Lawson, and we went around to those places and sang songs, and we visited the place where Virginia's mom was at before she passed away. Well, over the last 2 years, we've also seen a refocusing at work with the help of Randy Avery and Carol Daves with the Harvest Festival. Started 2 years ago, we began refocusing that. And it's because of our refocusing it's really become an even brighter light for the Lord in Orangevale. You see, we're not necessarily talking about scrapping things and throwing things away, but maybe doing, you know, things more effectively. Proverbs 21:5 comes to mind. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. It's like the idea of the eldership again. Yeah, we want elders, but we don't want to do it in haste. Okay? You see, to be diligent means I'm hardworking. You're hardworking. But we're careful about how we do it. As opposed to the hasty person who may have a pretty decent plan, but they don't think it through and they just run around ragged and it all comes to nothing. All they've done is tired themselves out. Kind of like a cat or a dog chasing its tail. Sure looks funny to me. I don't want to be a cat or a dog chasing my tail. I don't think anyone here does either. And so as we refocus, our new outlook needs to be tempered with conscientious wisdom. In other words, it's good to be passionate about things, but it needs to be controlled and it needs to be focused. Over in Ephesians 5, we read these very appropriate words in verses 15 through 17. There Paul writes, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Now think about that. Are we careful as to how we're living individually? What about congregationally? Are we spending our time wisely? And I don't think making the most of every opportunity, again, means making your busy life even busier and foregoing any kind of rest time or downtime. We need that. But we can take what Paul said and allow ourselves to evaluate our time and agenda and see where it could be tweaked a little bit or even changed for the better. So, what are your plans? What are your goals? Do you have any? What do you want to see happen in 2016? Do you believe that great and wonderful things could happen here in Orangevale? That's right, I do. Prayerfully, we all do. Philippians 4:13 offers us the promise that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So let's be positive, okay? 2015 was a transition year, and it was actually really a pretty good year. And right now, 2016 is poised to be a pivotal year. So don't be so skeptical. Be convinced. Moses was skeptical, but God showed him that he would equip him to lead a nation. And he did, all the way to the promised land. And Gideon, well, he was the youngest in his family, and his family was the poorest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. Yet God made him into a mighty warrior who delivered Israel from the hands of the Midianites. And there are other examples, a lot more examples. God loves using the underdog and doing great things. You know, they stand out as a testimony to the marvelous things that God can do through you and me. So we need to start with believing that God can and will do great things through us. And so we will continue to be doing what we've been doing, just better. Our men are growing more and more into the leadership roles that we need, and our Bible classes are becoming more and more organized and purposeful. Our outreach methods are becoming more effective. So you see, we can do the Lord's work here in Orangevale, but we do it best together. And there's a lot that you can get involved in if you're not, like we talked about. And so that we can do that best together, you know, we need to, again, spend some time, as we have been, reviewing our accomplishments and refocusing our vision. And we do that so that we could all be renewing our commitments. You know, renewing our commitments not only to the Lord, but to each other, to His church, and to His purpose. Again, turning back to the book of Proverbs, this time Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, Scripture says to commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Now, wait a minute. Does that mean that if I set out to start a Bible aerobics class, you know, where you put your hands way up and praise the Lord and you bow down and worship God and, oh, bend over and maybe get up, you know, is that going to succeed? Well, I don't know. I don't want to do it either, you know. All right. I'm not Richard Simmons. I haven't got the hair for it. But, you know, but you see, this simply means that if we set out to do the Lord's will, the Lord's way, then one way or another it will succeed. Now, with that in mind, we need to remember to be careful about falling into the trap of performance or the numbers game. High numbers don't always mean success. Low numbers don't always mean failure. So what are we to do? Well, first, let's remember that the key to success is not focusing on growing the number of people in attendance at our assemblies, but in growing our own abilities to assimilate the lost into the family of God. That sounds so good, I think I need to say it again. It's not in growing our own assemblies with numbers, but it's growing our own abilities to assimilate the lost into the family of God. And to do that, let me suggest that we need to grow warmer through fellowship, and we need to grow deeper through discipleship, and we need to grow stronger through worship, and broader through our ministry, and we need to grow larger through evangelism. You see, healthy and lasting church growth is multidimensional. It's not some one-time fix. It's not a band-aid. It's a change in life. Let's look at just one more passage this morning as we wrap things up. It's over in Acts chapter 2, and it's a familiar passage to us. It's right after the 3,000 were baptized, and we read about the church and its growth there, starting in Jerusalem. Starting in verse 42, we want to read down through verse 47. And again, here in Acts 2, this is after the church belonging to Jesus Christ was established. We're told that those early Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now take a look again at what first century Christians did right there. That showed that what happened. They studied the scriptures, right? They fellowshiped together. They worshiped. And they ministered to each other. And through that came evangelism. And look at the wonderful results there in verse 47. It says, and the Lord add to their number daily those who are being saved. And so we see really that God is the one who adds to his church, to the body. And it's through us, when we do our part, through things like fellowship and discipleship and worship and ministry. And through those things, we reach others and evangelize and share faith, and the Lord's body grows. And so, looking back, you know, we said today that if a congregation of the Lord's church is healthy, then it will grow. It's like a sickly body. A sickly body won't grow no matter what you do at it. You can throw all the books at it you want, all the seminars you want on it, not going to grow. Okay. But if it's healthy, both spiritually and then numerically, growth will happen. And it's not a question of quantity or quality. Those words get thrown around and drive me nuts. It's really both. Okay, it's really both. Along the way, we must never compromise the message and mission of the Lord's church in the process. Because there are people who do that, thinking, well, that's because they're busy worried about the number game. It's not about numbers. It's about who is saved. Okay. It's about them knowing about Jesus and on the way to heaven. Okay. You know, 2015, again, started out kind of rough. I'll admit that. I mean, I was feeling blue, and I know a lot of you were too. It brought about many challenges that, as we worked through them, we've grown stronger because of them. And that positions us really for a great 2016. And when we talk about using our GPS, God's positioning system, that's all about our spiritual position in relation to God. And so, if we are in the lost position, they know that God has lifted up his Son for all to see as the focal point, as the goal for souls to reach to be found, to be saved. And God has given us the directions to get there, so we don't have to be lost. And you know, we do that, the scripture says, by placing our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and then repenting of our sins, we submit to God's will by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of our sins. God tells us that when we do that, when we obey the gospel, that our position with God is now in the salvation state. Mark 16:16, we've been saved. And like we mentioned earlier, if we are saved, and I know that's, you know, the majority of us here, if we're saved in God's positioning system, it's up to you and me who know the good news. Because it is good news. It's great news. It's awesome news. You know, if we know the good news of Jesus, well, you know, we need to share it. And there are many, many opportunities that we've talked about this morning that we can. That we can. Well, we do it together as a body of believers, as his church. And we said it's good. It's good for us to go ahead and take the time and review our accomplishments and refocus our vision and renew our commitments. Prayerfully, over the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about being committed to Christ in a new sermon series that will start next Sunday. So if there's anyone here this morning who needs to put Christ on in baptism, or maybe there's some other need that we could help out with as a loving congregation, I'd like to encourage you to come forward as we all stand and sing.